President-elect Biden will become president following his inauguration tomorrow. The incoming administration faces an economic downturn, the country's biggest public health crisis in a century, and a deeply divided nation. The president-elect has promised a quick response, offering a nearly $2 trillion recovery package. Biden's plans include distributing 100 million doses of coronavirus vaccine in 100 days, sending out $1,400 stimulus checks, and raising the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour. But Biden faces a Senate that will have to juggle that agenda while simultaneously holding an impeachment trial for the outgoing president. And congressional Republicans and possibly some key Democrats are likely to push back on elements of those plans. We're digging into the early days of the Biden administration, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want President-elect Biden to focus on as soon as he gets into office? What should his immediate top priorities be? What are you most hopeful for or worried about with the new administration? What do you think of the idea of another round of stimulus checks? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Shannon Bo O'Brien is an assistant professor of instruction at the University of Texas Austin Department of Government and the author of Donald Trump and the Kayfabe Presidency, Professional Wrestling Rhetoric in the White House. Shannon, welcome back to the show.
Hi, nice to be back.
Well, I just listed some big challenges there. What do you see as, the biggest challenge facing the Biden administration when it checks into the White House tomorrow afternoon?
Honestly, I think the biggest challenge they have is the fact that they haven't really been allowed to have a lot of access to transition information. And I think when at 12, you know, at 12 o'clock, everything changes, regardless of whoever's, you know, that's when it switches constitutionally. And we'll see, because I don't know, and it's sort of unclear how much information Biden's actually received and how much intelligence he's gotten and how much detail he actually does have. That's what I'm waiting for, to see if plans start shifting and some of the rhetoric starts changing a little bit once they get like the full details.
Now, they'll have to work with Congress, the Biden administration, to pass a lot of their agenda items. I want to give a listen to Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin on WPR's The Morning Show. This is last week, talking about where that's going to start.
We're scheduled to come back into session on January 19th. Very shortly thereafter, the leadership of the Senate is going to change. Then it'll be up to Senator Schumer to schedule the trial, and all of us right now are very hopeful that we'll be able to both consider the trial as well as move forward on confirming Joe Biden's cabinet nominees.
So, Shannon, impeachment trial in the Senate, confirmations in the Senate, and an ambitious policy agenda from President-elect Biden for economic recovery. Can Congress tackle all that at once?
Yeah, they can. It'll be interesting, but they can do it. Over on Senate side, what's going to be interesting is with all the changes, they're going to be getting new leadership in, and they're going to be getting new committee chairs and subcommittee chairs in, along with just, you know, Chuck Schumer coming in as majority leader. And so there's going to be a lot of people having to learn, you know, jobs and you know, culture is going to change a little bit over there. And that's a challenge unto itself as well. Yeah, I think with at least what I was listening to today, with Mitch McConnell's speech, it sounds to me, and I'm originally from Kentucky, but from the way McConnell's talking, it sounds like he's not going to stand in the way of an impeachment trial, and he might be helping grease the wheels on a conviction a little bit. And if that happens, that might go very fast. And if that goes very fast, they might be moving over to policy agenda really quickly.
We are talking about the incoming Biden administration, priorities and challenges and roadblocks they may face. Shannon Bo O'Brien is with us from the University of Texas, Austin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions and what you are hoping to see or worried about. Shannon, let's get into this economic recovery plan from Joe Biden now. A good chunk of money, $1.9 trillion. Some members of Congress are already thinking they've spent enough. What stood out to you in that plan?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm actually waiting to see, like I said, when he becomes president, I'm waiting to see. A lot of times people have, it's sort of like when you go to the buffet and you see all the food and then you have to actually start putting it on your plate and you realize it's more than you can handle. That's what I'm waiting for. I'm actually waiting to see what he's wanting to actually accomplish in terms of when he actually gets in charge of stuff and sees what the government's dealing with at the moment. Like I said, I'm actually just very concerned about the fact that they haven't been included on a lot of the planning or a lot of the transition planning by the Republican administration that's leaving. I think the Republicans are probably going to become far more fiscally conscious. They're going to start talking about having to be, you know, concerned about budgets, and we'll see how this moves forward. I hate to say, I know I sound very ambivalent there, but a lot of times I think the vaccines and testing's a big deal. I think the stimulus payments are a big deal. I think people want to see that, but I actually think I'm waiting to see Friday, Monday on what they actually start laying out.
Well, the Biden administration, his team can look and say, we know what the unemployment numbers are. We know what the COVID numbers are. There's some information they have access to. What kinds of things are worrying you about the transition here? What kind of what are the issue areas where you think they might not have this information that's going to slow them down or maybe make them change direction once they do get a look at this stuff?
I think the Trump administration has been burrowing in a lot of people into the bureaucracy who are going to probably be very recalcitrant and unhappy with the change. The things I've seen with, really not wanting to be forthcoming with numbers. The thing that came out about what's worrying me, honestly, is the things like what we saw when the Trump administration recently said we're going to release more coronavirus, and we found out that they didn't have any more coronavirus vaccines to release. And I'm a little worried we're going to be a little like the Wizard of Oz, and we're going to open up the curtain and see that there's not much behind that curtain. And that's what's troubling me. And I'm just a little worried about it, honestly.
Turning to the cabinet, another agenda item for the Senate, are there particular confirmation efforts that you have your eye on that are either really significant in the job that people are going to be doing or that might run into controversy before the Senate?
Well, what I'm expecting to see is with the Democratic Party's gain of those two seats from Georgia, that means the Senate flipped. And what that means is that I'm expecting to see some more nominees coming from Joe Biden that are actually far more progressive and more liberal than would have otherwise been. That's my expectation. Because if he was going to have to send people through and negotiate with a Republican Senate, he was going to have more moderate conservatives to get them through. Whereas now with a democratically controlled Senate, you're going to see probably a few nominees with a hat tip towards the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. That's my guess. This afternoon, I was seeing some of the nominees, Joe Biden's, some of the nominees that he's putting forward so far, they're looking very, very well received by both parties. I don't see anybody so far that they're going to really dig in and you're going to see some sort of death match over.
Continue our talk with political scientist Shannon O'Brien from the University of Texas, Austin, looking at the incoming Biden administration's first days starting tomorrow. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think the top priority should be for the Biden administration? Let's go to your calls now. Ed is with us in Milwaukee. Ed, hello.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
What did you want to ask about, Ed?
I'm thinking about it. If it was my job, it seems to me like this COVID thing is the number one priority, although, I agree that we need to take care of the problems with the Trump administration. But if this thing gets sort of hand, it's like it's worldwide. and it's changing. So, I just want to know if she thinks that possibly that should be the number one priority. Plus, when people don't have any money and they, getting evicted and things like this, then that's going to snowball the effect of that. So I just wonder what your guest thinks about that.
Ed, thanks a lot for the call. So when it comes to COVID and the vaccination effort, Shannon, do you think there's much the Biden administration could do day one or day one through 10 to move the needle? Shannon? I think we've lost contact with our guest. While we will check in on that in just a moment, remind you, you can join in with your thoughts, what you want to see for priorities for the Biden administration. You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. The Biden administration takes office at early tomorrow afternoon, and we want to hear your thoughts for what you want to see for the top priorities. There's the impeachment going on. They won't be directly involved in that. But what do you want to see when it comes to economic recovery, if anything? Are there things you think Congress and the new president could work on together, things they can cooperate on? If so, what do you want that to be? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Let's bring on a caller while we wait to reconnect with our guest. Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. Well, I would like to see another big stimulus package for the middle class and the lower income people. I'd say double or triple that. And the easiest way to pay for that is to stop subsidizing the fossil fuel industry, and you start making corporations and rich people pay their fair share in taxes, and that would eat that deficit up in no time.
Cindy, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. The Biden plan would include a $1,400 stimulus check. Again, that would have to be passed by Congress. Don't start spending that money just yet. Kind of rounding up from the $600 to the $2,000 that some, including President Trump, had wanted. We've got Shannon back there. Sorry we lost you there, Shannon. Our initial caller had asked about vaccination as a priority. Are there things that you think the Biden administration can really do to move the needle early on speeding up vaccination efforts?
I think absolutely. I think one of the problems that we've had is a lack of coordination with the national government and the states. And there's been a lot of states, you're go for it. You're a bit on your own here. And I think there's a lot they could do to try to create a better supply chain, to try to improve communication, and to really create sort of a system where everybody has – a lot of people are really good if they have expectations and they know when things are supposed to occur. And I think if the Biden administration could really take point and really manage this as, like, we're going to coordinate all this, I think that would go a long way to making things a lot better.
And then we heard from our last caller, Cindy, looking for a bigger stimulus. Now, the Biden plan, again, it would have to pass Congress, would do $1,400 checks. That's on top of the $600 in the last one, which would get up to the $2,000 that many Democrats in Congress, a couple Republicans, and then President Trump late in the game said they wanted. What do you think about the appetite in Congress, Shannon, for more direct stimulus payments?
I think it's going to be very polarized. The tone that we're starting to see from the Republican Party is talking more and more in terms of fiscal responsibility. We're starting to see them talk more like that. So I think they might be very uncomfortable passing more, or at least putting the blame of like increasing deficit or increasing debt onto the Democratic Party. But I think the increased stimulus is necessary. I think there's a lot of people struggling out there. I think there's a lot of people, honestly, most countries, we're talking about a $1,400 one-time payment additional to people. In many countries, they're getting that each month. And, $1,400, $600 is great to help pay a bill like this month. But when we're talking a total payment, that's not sufficient for a lot of people, and especially people who are in service industries and people who are in jobs that have been heavily impacted by this and they can't work right now. And I think that the administration is going to need to, I think they need to look at that and they need to take that up.
Let's bring on another caller now at 800-642-1234. Jake is with us in Madison. Jake, hi.
Hi, hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jake?
What I wanted to bring up is that the Biden administration, if they're looking at any chances of getting reelected in 2024 or passing the torch over to Kamala, what they got to do, at least in my opinion, is they got to go full FDR, go full populist, and they got to materially improve people's circumstances, especially right now in this time of economic suffering. So what I think they should do is for the pandemic, recurring payments, they should cover people's salaries that they would otherwise have, not just do a one-time check like we've been proposing. And with healthcare, which is especially on the table because of COVID, you got to go Medicare for all. You got to go single payer like so many other developed nations have. Otherwise, there's going to be people left behind. And if they want to pass the torch down to Kamala or get reelected in 2024, you can't half measure it. That's what I got to say.
Jake, thanks a lot for the call. Jake saying go all the way there, Shannon. In effect, what do you think?
Well, it sounds great on one level. On the other level, you know, we got to figure out how to pay for it, though, too. The United States budget, when we talk a lot about money, the discretionary isn't that big. We have a lot of mandatory payments that we've got to pay. And if we do that, it's going to eat even more into the discretionary spending, and it's going to have to come out from somewhere. And that fight, fortunately, is bigger and badder than I am. I don't have to weigh into that one, at least with in terms of actually having to figure that one out. But I think there's something to be said there. I mean, what the New Deal really did is the New Deal was not designed as a permanent program. The New Deal was designed as a temporary program to put people to work, to get people working in the government in various industries across the board to keep them from starving and to make sure they had food on their table. I think the Biden administration may be well served from looking at from that perspective of the New Deal and looking at maybe trying to figure out ways to put people back to work in public works projects and in various different avenues. I mean, the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, you know, whenever you walk, you know, into a park and you look at all the trees, a lot of those trees were planted by people who were unemployed in the 1930s.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Jackie now in Appleton. Jackie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Two things, I suppose. One thing, if we're looking for money and where to pull it from, I think the military would be a good spot, as well as I'm a huge Sanders fan, so rob the rich to feed the poor, right? There's plenty of people who have way too much money. But that's not the reason, I guess, I called in. I was just commenting because of the last call. I'm thinking big picture here. I don't care who's in office, right? Hierarchy of needs. What are people's needs? Generally speaking, we need a planet to survive on, so environmental would probably be first on my list. We need to stay alive. So food, farming type of industries that give us the food that we need. Third would probably be healthcare, followed up by maybe education. I mean, we need to think big picture for long-term effects. There are some serious things happening now that also need to be dealt with. But if we want to not have other issues carry on into the future, we have to see further in advance as well.
Jackie, thanks for the call. Shannon, to Jackie's first point about the environment, I understand the Biden administration looking at some executive orders aimed at overturning some of what President Trump has done. What are you watching for there?
Well, I actually think probably one of the first big fights is going to be over what we refer to often as the Green New Deal. And seeing that came out of the progressive wing of the Democratic Party, and we'll see if that gets taken up or not. If the more conservative side of the Democratic Party wants to put the brakes on it, because now that they have a unified Congress and unified control, theoretically they could pass that. And we're going to see if the Democratic Party is truly on board, or was that lip service? I think what we're going partially going to see.
Thanks a lot for that call. Our last 30 seconds, Shannon, what questions are you hoping we have answered over the next few days?
The next few days. I think I'm interested in COVID, like many people like several people mentioned, I'm curious to see what they're going to really roll out there in terms of a comprehensive plan. I am curious on what they're going to be passing as executive orders immediately afterwards. I am curious to see what the timeline is on the impeachment trial. Because we've never tried to impeach a president or hold a trial for removal after he's left office. And I think that we might see that go into the courts possibly too and see if it's even possible. That's what
Shannon,
I'm looking at.
Shannon, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry my system had an issue.
No problem. That's Shannon O'Brien, assistant professor of instruction at the University of Texas Austin Department of Government. She joined us for a look at the early days of the Biden administration.